Praise the Lord. It is written. The series of messages that we've been going through for the last 7 weeks. It is written. When we celebrate holidays in the church, some of them are biblical based and some of them aren't. So this happens to be one that is. The Pentecost. Shavuot. The Jewish feast of the spring harvest. And it's when Almighty God poured out His Spirit upon the church. The early church was filled with the Holy Spirit. The cloven tongues of fire dropped on the people. Now, they didn't catch fire physically. They were on fire spiritually. It's written that this event transformed those people from common men and women into powerful witnesses for Christ. And yet, we might be tempted to doubt this. We might be tempted to refuse to accept this account. Because after all, we haven't seen it in our own lives, right? We haven't seen this in our time. We haven't seen God move in such a miraculous way here. We might be tempted to think, well, you know, we might be thinking that we doubt that it's possible. We cannot allow that doubt. The temptation to doubt that it's possible today can be eradicated by using Scripture because it is written. Believers are tempted many ways today. There's lots of avenues for temptation. We have avenues of temptation that weren't even imagined 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 or 60 years ago. Before all this modern communication technology took off like it has. I mean, you just think for a minute. Smartphones coupled with the internet. People have avenues of temptation that are far beyond what was imagined just 10 years ago. There's hundreds of cable TV stations. There's the internet with every kind of sin available. And some people get caught up in it. But think about this. Every manner of evil is present in the world today. Every manner of evil is present. And without divine intervention, none of us could survive. None. The whole world needs to have Christ. This series of messages is focused on strengthening believers. And strengthening us, not just to be strong, but to be strengthened against temptation. The text that we're going to start with informs believers, and the whole world for that matter, of the time when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the world. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us that that ended. Although there are people that teach that it ended. There's nothing in Scripture that teaches that it ended. This is the second most important event in human history. We know the first most important event in human history was Christ's first coming. But the second is His sending of the Holy Ghost to empower His followers. We've already learned how Jesus expressed His authority over Satan and temptation by quoting Scripture and saying, "It is written." And I want to equip everybody possible to resist the devil and overcome temptation like Christ. Let's follow His example when we're tempted. Let's follow His example. Let's use Scripture to counter temptation. You know, with the Holy Ghost, we can overcome all tempting. Every bit of temptation can be refuted with the Holy Bible. Every bit. And with the Holy Ghost and His power, using the Scriptures, we can break any hold that Satan has on us. Sadly, many have been taught to believe something other than the truth of God's Word. We have man-made teachings that refute the teaching of God. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to His followers, and He kept His promise. And so I have to ask, was that for every believer, or was it just for those believers at that time? Was it just for those folk? Was it just for then? Or is the Holy Ghost present now? Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, the Holy Ghost is present now. He's among us. He's within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to the first chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And you can find that on page 732 in the Pew Bible. Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 1. And we're going to hear just maybe from the first five, maybe the first, probably the first five verses. And then we'll jump to chapter 2, which is on the following page in your pew Bible. Acts chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 1. But before we do, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would give me unction to speak. Give everyone that's within the sound of my voice the blessing of divine hearing. That each of us, Lord, would just receive every bit of what you have to offer today. I ask, Lord God, that you would take a hold of me and use me to your glory and in the bringing forth of your word. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, this is the Acts of the Apostles. It's written by Dr. Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Some would call this the second Gospel of Luke, or Luke 2. But it's named Acts. And in chapter 1, we hear Luke saying to whomever it was he was writing, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Began. The former account being Luke, the Gospel of Luke. He says what he began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I trust that God adds the blessing to the reading of His Word. And then when we go to chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1, we hear, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Notice he says all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Hades there means the grave. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, in other words, he's going to be a child of David, an offspring of David, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, this is Peter's sermon. Remember, Peter's the guy that was hiding out when they were crucifying Jesus. He was scared. What gave him that power? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took a hold of Peter, and Peter spoke to these people that had crucified Jesus. And he spoke boldly. He wasn't afraid. Now, we're going to read on a little further here. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000. This was 120 people that were hanging out together after Jesus had been killed. And now 3,000 more came in because the Holy Ghost empowered them to preach the truth. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I pray that God will seat his word in the hearts of those who've heard it. Jesus said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many of us can honestly say with definite conviction that we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? I'm not asking for a show of hands. Some would say Jesus was only talking to those people. Others would say the Holy Spirit doesn't do now what he did then. But I'll submit to you that he's the same today as always. He hasn't changed. Those people at that time They had to wait on God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why did they have to wait? Why couldn't it be instant? You know, in our day, everything's instant, right? You throw a little water in, stir it up, bingo, you got something to drink. You stir a little water in, put it in the fire, and bingo, you got something to eat, right? Everything's instant. But Jesus said you had to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. You had to wait for the anointing. And in Acts 1:8, we read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They didn't have their own power, and they weren't to operate in their own power. They weren't to operate in their own authority. They were to operate in the power of Almighty God that came through His Holy Spirit. Too many people want to eagerly serve Almighty God in the harvesting of souls, but they want to do it in their own power. And then I think of Nicholas, who wanted to have this power of the Holy Ghost. He said, give me this power. He said, pray for me to get this power so I can have. And they said, no. You just want this power for your own ends, your own means. No, the power of God. He said, you be cursed. Take your money and you'll die with it. You can't buy this gift. This is something God gives. And He gives it to those who are yielded and waiting for Him. That's what the evidence shows us. That's what's written. You can't just jump right in without the Holy Spirit and do God's work, because we're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not God's work. And this leads to all kinds of mess in the church. There's a lot of good works that are being done. There's lots of good stuff that's happening, but it's not Spirit-infused. The great condition of spiritual blessing and the fullness of power only comes from receiving the Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Ghost. It's written there that Jesus said, then you will be my witnesses. After saying you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He said, then you will be my witnesses to testify about me. Then, after you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, early in my conversion, that's all I wanted to do was tell everybody about Jesus. And I'd walk the streets. I would walk the streets and I would tell people, Jesus loves you. He's the way. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. He's the way. The Father made the way. He will forgive your sins. You have to turn to Him. You can be forgiven. The Holy Spirit represents Christ through true believers. The Holy Spirit represents Christ, and nothing the Holy Spirit does will be outside of what Scripture reveals to us. He represents Christ through true believers who yield to His power. And that power is in our lives and over our lives. The Holy Ghost qualifies us for the work of being witnesses for Christ. His Spirit is better. His Spirit is purer than ours. He cleanses us. He purifies us. Think about it. The church was a group of 120 people. They were waiting for the power that Jesus Christ had promised. Their leader had been killed, he'd been buried, and he was thought to be gone forever. That's what they thought. They had no understanding that he was going to come back. But he came back, and then he spent time teaching them. They didn't have a building like this one to meet in. They didn't have some fancy edifice. They hadn't built a structure to meet in and have their services. They didn't have denominations and what I often call demoninations. They used a space on the second story of a building that they might have even rented. Or somebody loaned it to them. They didn't have a formal name other than the disciples or followers of the way that Jesus had taught. The name Christian hadn't even been dubbed onto the followers yet. The Scriptures begin to refer to God's people after Christ arose. The Scriptures begin to refer to God's people as saints. When Christ arose, it said many of the saints who had died came to life. Those were God's people. And those early believers were united in teaching. They were united in belief. They were united in understanding. They were not divided. They weren't splintered into separate groups. And the Holy Spirit was able to work. He was the glue that held them together. He was the glue that made it all work. After watching Jesus ascend into heaven, The followers were told by God's messengers that he'd return. In fact, he said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." That's in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. That's where we find that written. We know they weren't referring to the Holy Ghost because they said this same Jesus will come back the way he left. He's talking about something else. Jesus is going to come back. But that's not the coming of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 24, we hear where Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, he's talking about the great tribulation, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, none of that seems to relate, right? Well, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What he's saying is, Christ is going to come back. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came at that time on the day of Pentecost, Christ comes at another time. Behold, it's written in Revelation 1 and verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. At that time, not every eye saw the Holy Spirit come. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. His second coming will be seen by all people, not just believers. That's what's written. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were fully whelmed, overwhelmed. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They weren't dusted. A little dusting of, here's some little Holy Spirit dust. They weren't sprinkled with some Holy Spirit sprinkling. They were overwhelmed. They were baptized. They were filled. And when the Holy Spirit gave them the power, it was that power to testify of Him. They received this gift sent by Christ to testify of Christ. And that means to be a witness. It's like in a court case when you testify. You testify of what you know, what you've experienced, what you've seen. And in your life, when the Holy Ghost takes over, things happen. The power of God comes upon you and He moves in you. And other people will see it. Other people will see it. They'll recognize it's God's power because they know what a despicable character you are. So me pointing at myself? Okay? They know the despicable character that I was, but when the Holy Ghost came upon me, I was different. I was changed. I was renewed. I was transformed. My mind was being renewed. And God's Word was filling up all those voids in my body. Every cell of my being was infused with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those people told the things that they heard. They told what they'd seen. They told what they'd experienced. And each of us can do the same today. But we need His power. We need His power to do it, not our own. We can't operate in our own power, our own flesh. It doesn't work that way. They had no ability to make this happen. They received the gift which was promised by waiting. Oh, there we go, waiting again. You know, all the world's problems are solved on television and in movies in 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And the longest now is an hour and a half. And we're waiting for God to move among us. And sometimes it's tough. We want to see God move now. We don't want to wait. Now we have little coffee pods. We make one cup of coffee, right? One cup of coffee. We make one cup of coffee because we can't wait for that whole pot. After all, I just want one cup and I want it now. Right? Seriously. Let's face it. But we have to wait for God's power. We have to wait for God to move. We have to wait for what God is doing. And sometimes it takes longer than we expect. Should we be tempted to make ourselves become baptized in the Holy Spirit? Should we somehow make it happen? We're unable to make it happen. We can't. That's God's work. It's the power of God that comes upon faithful followers. It's His power that transforms us into His sinless image. Spirit-filled living requires repentance and surrender and submission. Repentance, surrender, and submission. When you turn from where you were going to the way God wants you to go, and then you surrender yourself to Him and you submit to His will, He takes over. He runs with you as the body that He uses to do His work. That's the way it works. We may not go on sinning and expect to have God's power upon us to do His work. We may not. Oh, wait. There's those who say we can. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we choose to sin willfully. And this is perhaps why we see so little of what we saw in the early church happening today. Maybe that's why we're not seeing the power of God. The doctrine of many churches has become sin it up because we're covered by the blood of Christ. Or sin it up because we're under grace. Go do whatever you want. But let me tell you, folks, it's written, we may not go on sinning. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's written in Hebrews chapter 6, for it is impossible, pay attention, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. In other words, they had a taste of that power. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They had a taste of that power. The power of the ages to come. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. That's God's Word. It's written. It is written. And there are those who refute that. They say, well, no, it's not what it means. It says what it means. And it means what it says. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, it's written, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Oh, but today, if you rebuke somebody for sinning, half the church leaves. They go down the street. That church accepts us without repentance to Almighty God through Christ. We don't have to repent. That's an old-fashioned notion. There's a church down the street, up the street, around the corner. Doesn't matter where it's at. Across town, down the other end of the county. They'll accept you without repentance. You can live any way you like. After all, just come on in. Jesus loves you just the way you are. The Bible tells us He loves you right the way you are, but He wants you to change. In fact, He demands that you change. He calls it repentance. Remember what's written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear Him who can kill the body and throw your soul in hell. That's who Jesus said to fear. The Holy Spirit gives you the strength that you lack in your own power. He gives you what you need to beat temptation. You have the power over the enemy. Jesus said so. He said, I'm going to give you power over all the power of the enemy, not just some. Pray for Almighty God to reveal to us what's holding back His Spirit. What's holding His Spirit back from blazing in His people as He did in times past? Ask Him. Pray for His power to descend from on high. Pray that all will comprehend our words. Pray to be His witnesses until He returns. Remember, He said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Pray for our Creator to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Pray that our sons and daughters would prophesy. Pray that young men would see visions. Pray that old men would dream dreams of God. It's written in Acts 2:36, God has made this Jesus, whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ. Is He your Lord? Is He truly your Lord? Is He your master? Is He your boss? The boss of bosses? The head of all heads? Is He your leader? The leader of all leaders? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Really? Completely? Have you? That's what the Scripture calls for. The Scripture calls for us to absolutely surrender, to give up our lives and say, okay, God, I'm yours, use me. 100%. Is He your Savior? Well, a lot of us can claim that He's our Savior. We can say, yes, He's my Savior. Is He your Messiah? If so, then He's your change agent. He's your change agent. If He's your Savior, what are you saved from? Are you saved from the lust of the eyes? Are you saved from the lust of the flesh? Are you saved from the pride of life? Are you saved from this perverse generation? That's what Peter said. That's what he told the people after the Holy Spirit had come. Be saved from this perverse generation. Only Christ can save you from all that ails your soul. But you must turn to Him to receive what only He can give. In Romans chapter 1, it's written, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Who's suppressing the truth in unrighteousness? Today, I would submit to you there's many that are in positions of authority in the churches, in religion, and in the government. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But they're suppressing it. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, we hear, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Because it's His power that transforms us. It's His power that changes us. It's His power as our Savior to override all of those temptations. And we can use God's Word to refute the devil. And as I wrap this up, I want each of you who hear this message to heed what is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Don't you know Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. That's what's written. Do you want to operate in and under the power of the Holy Spirit? Then yield to Him as it's written. Just as the Holy Spirit transformed those people at that time, He can transform you. Each and every one of you. It's not for somebody else. The Holy Ghost power isn't just for that guy or that gal. It's for you. You have to wait upon God. Maybe it'll take some fasting. Maybe it'll take some prayer. And ask Him. Remember, if you're tired of living a powerless life, ask and you shall receive. That's what Jesus said. And if you're following Jesus, if He's your Master, if He's your Lord, He's your boss, He's your Savior, ask and you'll receive. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Are you ready to take that step of faith? Are you ready to live as God intends for you to live? Then wait upon the Lord and allow Him to fully baptize you in His power. And then I want you to watch how the filth of sin falls away from you. There's no power. It has no power over you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as it's written, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. You will receive power. It doesn't say you might. Doesn't say you could. It says you will. You will be empowered. When the Holy Spirit falls upon you, you will have power you didn't have before. And that's not to live as you please. It's to live as He pleases. So wait upon Him. Allow Him to baptize you in His power. Enjoy the newfound freedom of walking in Christ's likeness. He was sinless. He was free from the constraints of sin. And you can be too. As the Holy Spirit resides in you and rules in you, you can overcome temptation. Allow Him to use you. And witness to others of His transforming power in your life and the lives of those around you. And God will add daily to His kingdom those who are being saved. That's what's written. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to have that faith of our fathers, that faith that was so long ago, it seems, Lord. Help us, Father, to live in your power. And Father, if by some chance there's anyone who hears this message that has not been filled with your Spirit, I ask that you would fill them. Fill them now. Just as the Holy Spirit transformed the people of the early church, He can transform us. Lord, if there's people that are tired of living a powerless life, guide them to ask and to wait to receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes to them. Help them, Lord, to take that step of faith and live as You intend for them to live. Wait upon the Lord, it's written. Help us all to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open our hymnals to number 183 and sing Faith of Our Fathers, number 183. There's three verses, and if you can stand, please stand as we sing number 183.
I want you to visit with us next weekend.
For those of you who might be interested in helping us to support the ministry, you may send your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. May God richly bless you.